In a big policy shift, the World Bank says it'll no longer fund coal-fired power stations in poor countries. The board of the World Bank has agreed to a new energy strategy which will limit the financing of coal generation except in rare circumstances. Rare circumstances could include places where there are no feasible alternatives to coal. Jennifer Macy reports.
The World Bank has slowly been moving away from funding fossil fuel projects, but now it's official policy. The bank will limit the financing of coal-fired power stations except in rare circumstances. In its latest climate change report released last month, the World Bank President Jim Yong Kim said a 2 degrees Celsius rise in global average temperatures would leave millions of people trapped in poverty.
We wanted to make clear that a 2 degrees Celsius warmer world would be a disaster that we have to avoid. The good news is there are things we can do right now. Things that we are working on at the bank are, one, sustainable energy for all. We think that we can provide funding and technical expertise so that every country in the world can have the energy they need to grow, but grow in a sustainable fashion.
The last big coal-fired power project funded by the World Bank was built in South Africa in 2010 and attracted a lot of international criticism, particularly from the US and Britain. Erwin Jackson is the deputy CEO of the Climate Institute. He says the bank's policy move is a change in culture.
We've seen a remarkable turnaround, and they have realised, because of their impacts, that many of the world's poorest countries will suffer as a result of climate change. They need to actually walk the talk that they've been saying, and they know that it's not a sustainable position to say that if we allow global temperatures to increase by 4 degrees, then we're going to turn back economic development. They can't at the same time be funding major expansions in the fossil fuel industry.
The World Bank says in the last 5 years it has doubled its financial support for renewable energy projects, such as off-grid household solar in Bangladesh and Mongolia, wind farms in Turkey, and geothermal projects in Kenya. Erwin Jackson says the World Bank has also been instrumental in backing carbon markets to help fund these green energy projects in poorer countries.
In their view, the most effective way to reduce emissions is to put a price on carbon. So they have been working with many countries, China, Chile, Mexico, South Korea, Indonesia, Vietnam, to actually start building the global carbon market and building carbon markets. And we're actually now starting to see the fruits of that with countries like China putting in place emissions trading schemes.
Since taking up the presidency of the World Bank a year ago, Jim Yong Kim, the first scientist to helm the Global Development Bank, has taken on the challenge of climate change with vigour. He's released 2 World Bank reports on the dangers of the world warming by 2 and 4 degrees Celsius. Robin Davies is the Associate Director of the Development Policy Centre at the Australian National University. He says the President's interest in climate change at first took everyone by surprise. But he says the latest move to phase out the funding for coal generators was expected.
Really, it formalises a shift that we've been seeing in practice for some time. At the present time, there is only one coal project in the pipeline, the project in Kosovo. So I think in practice the bank and its board have been moving away from investment in coal projects except in rare circumstances. And this policy move and is completely consistent with the signals that were given by the Obama administration in recent weeks.
However, the new energy policy also sees the bank return to large-scale hydroelectric power.
It will be problematic for the bank to move back into this area. There is a long history of opposition to investments in large-scale hydro, but if it's serious about renewables and it wants to meet the energy needs of, the two-thirds of people in the poorest countries who don't have access to electricity, it clearly needs to consider large-scale hydro as one of the options in the mix.
However, Tulsi Narayanasamy, the director of AidWatch, says it's another backward step by the bank.
Hydropower was once considered to pose an unjustifiable social and environmental risk, and it's now perceived as suddenly justifiable from a climate change perspective, which in many ways demonstrates the co-option of a sustainability agenda to serve commercial interests. A lot of the livelihoods of people reliant upon the free flowing of rivers, fishermen, as well as people that use the free-flowing water to irrigate their land. By damming this, it has serious ramifications for communities that are often downriver.
And there's also the danger that donor countries like China may fill in the space left behind the bank and continue to fund fossil fuel projects in poor countries.
Jennifer Macy.